Listen, I say listen. It's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and the hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. O Zion, messengers of good news, shout from the mountaintop. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout it and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming.
So Satan comes and tries to take the word out of your heart, the word of God. If he is successful, he gets your joy, because joy is a product of something that was spoken by God. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, when you lose your joy, you become weak, you become helpless, unable to overcome. You become an open target for Satan's attacks.
So remember what Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. God's word produces joy, and joy produces strength. So here we are in the book of John 16:22. And you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, says the Lord, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take away from you. We have seen that if no man can take your joy, neither can Satan. He does not have the legal right to do that unless you give him that right. So let's fill our cups with joy as we feast on the Word of God. You are listening to the Gospel Trail. Consider God's glory, as we would say it in ancient Hebrew, Jehovah's kavod. It properly means weight, but it implies weight or a heaviness, but in a good sense, splendor and honor. Kavod can be first found in Genesis chapter 31, verse 1, referring to the success of Jacob in the house of his father-in-law, Laban. But as the story goes, the success and glory was not given unto the Lord. Kavod is spelled Kaf, Vayet, Vav, Dalet. These are names given to early pictograph symbols. Kaf is a picture of the palm of a hand. It means to cover, or to open, or to allow. Vayet is the picture of a tent or a house, or has the meaning of family. Also, it is the first word in the Bible that identifies the Son of God. Vav is a picture of an iron nail or a wooden peg. It means to secure, or to bind together, or to connect two things which are separate from one another. Dalet is a picture that indicates a doorway, or an entrance to life or death, a place where change takes place. We're talking about kavod. Consider God's kavod, or glory. And we're breaking down the pictograph letters that gives a meaning to the mystery of God in his glory. Two separate mysteries can be found in the letters. The first mystery involves covering the other in the uncovering with the hand. Jehovah will cover those in the family that have chosen to follow him in order to secure their pathway to life. An example would be in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses inquires of God, or Jehovah, in verse 18, where he says, I beseech thee now, show me thy glory. The glory of Jehovah here is kavod. No one can see my face and live, says the Lord. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my backside, but my face shall not be seen. The weight or immensity of the kavod, or the glory of the face of God, is death to sinful man. So he covers Moses with the kaf, or hand, to protect him and provide a path to life. In the second mystery, we find the word kaf, valet, vav, dalet. In this word, the letters of kavod, instead of covering, we see uncovering, or allowing us into the family of the Son of God, who was secured by iron nails, and that resulted in a doorway to death for him, but life for us. The Hebrew language goes on to incorporate numbers with these letters that also help us. Kaf is the number 20, which means redemption. Vayet is the number 2, which stands for God, the Son, or the living Word. Vav is the number 6 and describes man's state or enmity with God. Dalet is the word for and refers to God's creative work and to creation. In the word kavod of God, there will be redemption for fallen man and the creation cursed by man's sin. It will happen through the work on the cross of the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, or as we call him, Jesus the Christ. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, the dedication of Solomon's temple, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of the praying, fire came down. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." This glory, my friend, can be felt when you enter the house of the Lord. Again, the word glory here is kavod. This is an interesting picture of something that takes place in the lives of the disciples of Yeshua. After Yeshua returned to his Father, this Yeshua I speak of, today we call him Jesus, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, as they were praying, this occurred, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. That must have just shook the house. Everyone was in wonder and awe as it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This day marked the beginning of God's glory, or church, upon the earth. The Apostle Paul explains this in his first letters to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 19. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? By the presence of the Holy Spirit, the kavod of Jehovah now dwells in the bodies of those who have put their faith and trust in his Son, the Son who uncovered the pathways to the life when he was secured to the cross with the iron nails, or vav, contained in the glory or kavod of God. The Son who uncovered the pathway to life when he was secured to that cross. Psalm 29 states, "To give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Do we give unto the Lord the glory due his name? Do we give God credit for every breath we take? Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and God, the God of glory, thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. I just think back to Genesis when he created the earth, when the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, and God spoke everything into existence. Must have been a thunderous voice. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars even of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord formed the earth. The Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. With this in mind, I was the percussionist accompanying Liz and the singers this Sunday as we sang Unto the Lord. The weight of the glory in that place was so heavy upon me that I even missed my opening cue to start with the cymbals. The weight of the glory was in that place. Now enjoy us and sit back and worship the Lord as we sing Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Father, we just thank you for this glorious day. We thank you. Oh, glorious day. Wow. I use glory right away. Thank you, Father, that you are our glory, that we invite you, Holy Spirit, to show through us and through the Word and through our listeners as we share your glory, as we talk about your glory, Lord. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in all of this, all the conversations. We just abandon ourselves to you, and we say, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We thank you for this time that we can share. Lord, use us to bring glory to the Father and to you and the Holy Spirit. So we just dedicate this time to you and all that we say to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Good place to start with glory is in 2 Corinthians 4:17. The Corinthian church actually had, if you back up looking at that whole 2 Corinthians 4, they questioned Paul's motives and his methods. So he started by presenting a defense for himself and other ministers of the gospel, and the focus was on God's glory.
I was going to start because you were saying, I had 2 Corinthians 4:6, which is before that, and it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
The light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. And the next four words is to give the light. That light, which is the glory, is a tangible thing that disciples can pass on or administer. We're digging into what this means.
Yeah, what chapter are we in?
2 Corinthians 4.
I'm only one book off.
2 Corinthians 4. And we can go elsewhere, but thought that'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, because I was telling Kevin, I was looking in my Dake's Annotated Bible, and it said that the word glory is used 395 times in the Bible. So it obviously has some meaning.
And it's got to be a real thing. Moses says, show me your glory. Mm-hmm. God did show him his glory. And as a result, when he came down the mountain, he had to put a veil on his face because he was shining so brightly that people were in fear. And they were also in fear not to go up the mountain. They said, hey, you go up. Back then, I mean, when they were making the tabernacle stories and everything you talk about, the priest would go in. They would tie a rope around his ankle in case he was crushed or under God's glory, which they also attribute a weight to that thing. The rope meaning they didn't have to go in the presence of God, but they could pull the poor priest out if he dies.
Right, and it's so interesting what you're saying, Kevin, about the coming down the mountain with a veil over his face, and that the people, because God has He created us in his image to have fellowship with him. So he was inviting all of the Jewish nation, Israel, to come before him. And like you said, they said, no, you represent us. You go there because of fear. You know, I believe it was because of fear. And but he created us to have fellowship with him and to do that. And his glory, you know, I've been thinking about this. I've spent a lot of time, and I was reading all these verses and spending that time. And, you know, I believe, you know, my sense is I attribute glory to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. They are worthy of glory. You know, anything else, I mean, I've been thinking about it because there's nothing that matches the beauty and the majesty of God's glory.
No. Yeah, one of the ancient Hebrew language is where we get the word kavod.
Yeah, and I remembered it. Remember,
and
K-A-B-O-D.
V-O-D. And you said kabot, K-A-B-O-T, and that's also a valid pronunciation. And why I know not, maybe tomato and tomato, depending on what part of Israel you came from. But the term is... has both social and moral implications, kavod, and it stems from the root word for weight, and it can also mean for it does mean glory, honor, respect, distinction, and importance is the definitions for the words. I love it when we translate some of these Hebrew words. They give you a picture instead of, our language where, we say something about love and we have like one word for love and it has many different meanings, but not a picture. If I say the word love, it paints a different picture in different people's minds. But when they spoke of kavod, or the glory of God, it painted a picture, and it also was tangible. I mean, with the weight of his glory, they could feel it. They knew when God was present in their place.
I have a section of Luke where it talks about the true glory of God. I believe this is the mountain of transfiguration.
I'm not
saying that, but I think that's it.
Yep.
But the title of the section is The True Glory of Jesus. And it talks about Jesus' face glowing until it was blinding glory streaming from him. His entire body was illuminated with a radiant glory of his brightness, and it became so intense that it made his clothing blinding white.
Wow.
Blinding white.
Blinding white.
Like multiple flashes of lightning. Just amazing. And then, of course, you have Moses and Elijah showing up in glorious splendor. Just amazing.
At the Mount of Transfiguration, which you just described with the he ascended into heaven, and which means he must have been just saying, see ya, and rising up and going to heaven. And all that brightness and obviously God's glory shining around him. My thought goes back to when he told him at the gravesite that, don't touch me. I have not been glorified in heaven, or I haven't been back to, heaven yet.
Yeah.
Was that on the same mountain that the transfiguration took place with? That would be the ascension. And I'm trying to remember if that was the same place or not. It is truly extraordinary. While Peter was still speaking, he was talking about building the three tabernacles. A radiant cloud of glory formed above them and overshadowed them. And the glory cloud enveloped them. And they were struck with fear. Yeah, makes sense.
Right.
Then the voice of God thundered from within the cloud. This is my son, my beloved son. Listen carefully to all that he has to say. And then the thunderous voice faded away and the cloud disappeared. And Jesus was standing there alone. Jesus was left standing alone after all of that. We would see Jesus. I saw that on a sign one time behind a pulpit, and it was so the person that was at the pulpit would see it when they were preaching. And it was simply the phrase, we would see Jesus. In other words, you better preach like Jesus.
There you go.
Preach the message of Jesus.
When going to church, that we have usually ushers at the door, and one of their jobs is to... I would say to guard that glory.
Yes.
they're there to represent order, and I've even been stopped at the door because musicians were down in the sanctuary praying and preparing for the service, and they didn't want to disturb that, and
wow.
and then when we come into his courts. The Psalms says to come in with thanksgiving and praise, but it also with a reverence. It tells us to put on that cloak of righteousness, which means to prepare yourself for going before the Lord. Just like he didn't want to be touched because he hasn't gone to the Father yet and been glorified, as we will when we see him face to face. But putting on that cloak of righteousness is... just like Jesus before before he went to heaven, it covers all the sins. And that's where I think we should have more of a I guess reverence for the kavod. And when I mentioned Moses on the Mount, Exodus 24:17 is a prime example of terrifying glory. I mean, we should have some not terrified in that something bad is going to happen, but just like a healthy fear, you know, that it says in Exodus 24:17, "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel." And that's a description of kavod, as glory serves as a signal to the human soul, the respect of God and his worthy, and God's worth and worthiness.
A devouring fire. What does it devour? It devours our sin, our evil. It devours all those things that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it reminds me of the verses of, you know, that we are in the refiner's fire.
Refiner's fire,
you know,
exactly.
We are being pruned and refined so that all, you know, just as you were saying, all those things that you were saying too, Don, is like all those things would be burned away so that just his glory is seen, just the glory of God. Just as Moses said in Exodus 13, you know, he said, "Please show me your glory," he was saying to God.
Yes.
And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim before, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." So passing by, you know, and it's like, I mean, it's really starting to sink in to me now, is that we are to reflect his glory. We are to reflect his light, because it's light. It's that brilliant light. It's the kabod. It's that heaviness, the overpowering, because it's all of God's majesty. It's all his character, all he is. And having reverence, like you were saying, Kevin, is so important, because, you know, how lightly do we take that when we go?
That's right.
When we go into church, you know, like it says when we're doing doing communion and stuff, confessing our sins, you know, confessing our sins before him so that we will be washed.
Well, so much when we do those communion services too, out of Philippians, I believe it is, that we stop right after the good part, but it does go on to say that you had better be right with God. You had better put on that cloak of righteousness. You had better believe and know that the blood of Jesus has covered your sins.
That's right.
Not to just take it flippantly.
Right. And confessing our sins and then going to a brother, if you have aught with that brother, that was a part of the communion.
Right.
That was
a
part of it all. And it's like, wow, this is starting to crank me up.
Well, I think that was the problem in Corinthians. And that's why they were kind of looking at Paul and saying, what are you talking about? You know, and he was going for more reverence for the presence of God.
Yeah, because the Corinthian church was crazy.
That's right.
The stuff that was going on in the church was about as sinful as you could get, and he was, you know,
he was
sent to correct that. But you know, we don't. Yeah, that's what I'm getting today, and I think you're feeling it too.
Well,
it's we are to reflect God's glory, and how can we reflect his glory if we have unconfessed sin?
Unless we've been in his presence.
In his presence. And his presence is tangible.
Is tangible, correct?
Oh, the kabod. It's like when they in the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was built and God's glory came in a cloud and filled in the temple, and the heaviness of that. You know, God, and that's what's so exciting now, because we are the temple of God. In the Old Testament, or before Jesus came, we had to go to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we had to. Be in contact with God, was going to the temple. And he says, "Well, you are the temple. You are the temple." And because of his majesty and love for us, he wanted to show his glory in us, like he had from the beginning, is to have fellowship with him, that he gave us the greatest love gift, his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we would exhibit his glory, that he would be glorified. That's our whole purpose, is to glorify him.
Right.
He deserves the glory, not us, not anything we can do. He deserves the glory. So pointing to his glory and bringing people, even as disciples, or what you know, all of that is that we need to glorify him.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are left with choices and left to our own devices as humans, and we're not naturally inclined to show reverence. And this is something that...
Yeah, say that again.
We are not inclined to show reverence, and what's the opposite? Irreverent. And this is something that God has to teach or prescribe, you know, right from God. Nothing I can say can persuade you.
That's right.
I can point you in the direction, but it's God will have to teach you that honor and glory. And it's just getting back to, we're left to our own devices in our church settings. You know, I'm oftentimes in the back dealing with technology, and just the irreverence I hear from behind me that, you know, what do people hear for? You know, the irreverence of the sanctuary. You know, we're not worshiping, you know, the altar that we have, or the room, or but God's glory in that sanctuary. And I actually believe that the more irreverence there is in the back, and it's brought into that sanctuary, the less glory you're going to see there, unless you connect, you can tune that out and just connect with God, and you can see the person over there just having a God moment in the midst of chaos, you know, because, and that is because God is interested in you as an individual.
Right.
You know, we're not going to heaven on a bus following a pastor. We're not going to heaven on a bus following a movement. Those buses are going towards a cliff.
That's right. I'm not going to heaven because you know Jesus Christ and you
surrendered
your life. Because that's the choice I need to make.
No, you're going to heaven because you've experienced his glory. I mean, the glory in his son. I mean,
that's the epitome of who God, that's God's love. That is his glory. That's him.
He says, even when you're praying, use his name, and your prayers and desires will get to him when we pray in the name of Jesus.
I like it in Matthew 5:16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine to others. You know, that's the light that of God's glory shine through us.
Let your light,
so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven.
That's right.
Glory to the Father who is in heaven.
Not listening to a better worded argument, but see your good works.
You know, I think of the word reverence, that you use reverence, and it's really impacting me. It's like, yeah, what am I like when I'm in church? What am I like?
What am I like?
Do I have that reverence? And a word that is, you know, I think comes from that is like the word respect. Do we respect the sanctuary? Do we respect?
And that's all part of the meaning of kavod. Everything you're saying right here. Respect.
Yeah, because we lack respect in this country right now. We don't respect each other. We don't respect people that are made in God's image, which is all of us. We don't respect each other. And so we go to church and we show that irreverence and that disrespect instead of realizing, I want your glory. I want to glorify you. I want to worship you. I want to, because, you know, I think about in Revelation where it says, you know, the 14 elders are saying, holy, holy, holy. You know, continuously, holy is the Lord, and falling down at his feet and worshiping. It's like, where is that reverence? So this is impacting me, because he deserves our reverence.
That's right.
And his glory, just like you were saying, the kabod will not fall or be as heavy if we're not respecting and showing reverence to who he is, and to his sanctuary, and to the people that he's made in his image.
Yeah, in Exodus 40, 34 and 35, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. And that would be like the cloud covered our sanctuary where we go to hear about the Lord. But the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not even able to enter the tent of meeting because the clouds had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I mean, the weight of the glory that he could not even enter. He could not even enter that. That the presence of God was so tangible. And God's presence is visible, but oftentimes it can be just sensed, that we sense the presence of God, because He works on not just by sight, but all of our being.
There's a real consistency throughout Scripture about some of the images of this purity and of this glory. I have the Passion Translation of Ezekiel, which just recently came out. And it says, one day when I was 30, this is Ezekiel speaking, one day when I was 30, the heavens opened before my eyes and I saw visions of God. It happened on the fifth day of the fourth month during the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile. It was then that the word of Yahweh was powerfully revealed to me, and I felt the mighty hand of Yahweh come upon me. And as I looked into the spirit realm, I saw a fierce whirlwind and a massive cloud coming toward me from the north. Within the approaching cloud, I saw raging flames of fire. There's the fire again that we saw before. Flames enfolding themselves in flames. And outlining the glory cloud was a radiant light. And in the center of the flashing fire, I saw a substance of blinding brilliance with the appearance of electrum. Electrum, that's a new one to me.
Electrum.
And the footnote says, although the word electrum is not used frequently today, it is in fact the best description of what Ezekiel saw. Electrum is the fusion of gold, a symbol of the deity, and silver, a symbol of redemption, into a bright metal alloy. The Hebrew word for electrum is chasmal and means sparkling. But that echoes a lot of what you've said already about the glory of God. Electrum, fusion of gold and silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, I think about that with wedding rings and the silver and the gold.
Yeah.
duh. I mean, it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
About why do we value the various things is because God values things. How was the temple? I mean, what were the dimensions and what had to be, the utensils and things were gold and silver. That's what they, I love this verse, John 1:14. We all know this. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh. And that flesh was God's glory. It's manifested in his Son, Jesus, that brought us into a relationship with God the Father, so that he would be glorified. So our whole existence is to glorify God. Right, everyone? I mean, we were created to glorify him. So are we letting that light shine through us and spilling out to the people around us?
Right.
I mean, people would say, there's something different about these people.
That's right.
But if we don't have that reverence, if we don't have that abandonment to him, if we don't desire to be in his presence, I get cranked up here, to be in his presence, then we can go out from there and display, let that light shine before men to glorify him. That's what the word says.
Amen.
Let your light shine.
Right.
Let your light shine. The light that I've given you. It's not something that we can manufacture. It's the light he gives us freely. Just as he gave his son Jesus so that we would have that we would represent him and show God's glory wherever we go.
Right, and that's using kavod as a verb, and a simple explanation of that I would get from the fifth commandment: to kavod our fathers and mothers.
Wow, to honor
your fathers and mothers,
so that it may go well with you.
Well, yeah, it gives you a so you will prosper and live long. Excuse me, a full life if you honor your parents, if you kavod. And people can see that too. Oh, those kids are, I wish I had kids like yours. I mean, it's something tangible that you can see that, God's glory working in our children, in each other, and that not to hide that glory.
And so how do we get to that place? How do we, as we've said throughout the podcast for years, is that we have to spend time in his presence. We have to spend time in his presence, worshiping him,
right,
giving him the glory, and then getting the instructions that he wants, that he wants to give us as we go out. And it's not my will be done, but your will be done. What do you want us to do today, Jesus? You've given me the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit so that we can show God's glory.
That's
right.
Are
we showing God's glory? That's what this, is my life showing God's glory wherever I go?
Right.
Boom. Little checklist in my mind. It's like that's why I should ask the Holy Spirit, show me when I'm not displaying God's glory.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question, right, folks?
Well, that happens now and then, like, whoops, did I say that?
Did I actually say that? And did I actually do that?
Did I actually act on that?
Oh, wow.
Actions.
Is this conviction time? Yes.
It's usually because we all fall short, but that's not an excuse. Fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, one way to, I think glory is like we're glory banks. We talk about living waters and we're all vessels that, that water can be poured into. And there's a lot on that, but there's not a lot of teaching I've heard on glory. And I think it's, you got to stop and fill up your glory bank now and then. And just an example of that is, just take out some time during the day. And I did that this morning because I was conflicted in my mind about things that happen all the time, and we all get that. But I just sat down and I listened to the Bill Bergeson band that's Consider the Heavens. I listened to that, and that may not be your choice of music, but it showed to me God's glory. I asked God, show me your glory. And I just calm myself and listen to that music. And another quick way to do that is just get a YouTube search for instrumental worship. And there's a lot of them out there, like 2 hours of guitar instrumentals, 2 hours, 3 hours, different periods of time. But all you have to do is spend 2 to 3 minutes and just listen. And I suggest instrumental because that way the words will come from heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it will speak to your spirit and you will commune.
That's right.
You will be connected. I love that because you can start, you can remember tunes of songs and stuff and those words will.
Well, you get one or two different words, but I'm not a musician,
right,
in that respect that I know all these songs in my head, but I hear some words and if it's instrumental, sometimes those words come back. Mm-hmm. And sometimes where God will just put a new song into our heart to minister to our needs at that moment, because he knows the needs, not something that we can work up.
Yeah, I want to read from John 17.
Yes.
This is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. He's speaking about to God the Father. You have already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. This is Jesus speaking. I have glorified you on the earth by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. So my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created.
Wow.
That is, I love that, you know, because Jesus goes on to say, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and we are one, and he is sharing that with us, that we can become one with him, and therefore one with the Father, and so that we can glorify him. And that's a beautiful promise. That's a beautiful promise that we will glorify him. And as Jesus says, I did everything you told me to do.
Right.
Everything you told me to do. I say nothing unless you tell me what to say, and I only do what I see you doing. And that brings glory to God the Father.
That's it.
It's
And that comes from Jesus' prayer himself that was written in that passage. And
that's right.
That has some weight.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on. I mean, I could just say, starting, and then it goes on. Jesus prays for his disciples. Father, I have manifested who you really are.
That's right.
We are to manifest. And I have revealed you to the men and women that you gave to me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have fastened your word firmly to their hearts. Now at last they know that everything I have is a gift from you. And the very words you gave to me to speak, I have passed on to them, which is one of our responsibilities, passing on the legacy of the words to the future generations, as we've talked before. They have received your words and carry them in their hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you sent me to represent you. So with deep love, I pray for my disciples, which we are. I'm not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world, but for those who belong to you, those you have given me. For all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. That's how we would...
Wow. That's heavy, man. That's heavy, which that's a term used in the 70s to describe the kavod. It's almost as good as cool, but we don't want to be cool. We want to be either hot or cold. Heavy.
Yeah, it goes on. I'll tell you, that chapter 17, it just goes on and on.
It does. Continue.
Jesus prays for you. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one.
Ooh, ooh.
Let that sink in. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them.
Go.
So that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced, I like that, the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me.
Wow.
I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. It's a fabulous chapter.
That is.
Folks.
It really is.
You know, all the prayers, because the unity in that we represent him. And we can't represent him fully unless we are one with him. That we are one with Jesus and one with the Father. Because then when we will exhibit his glory. And that's a choice. Like you said before, Kevin, we have a choice. We have a choice every minute of our lives.
We do.
Who are we going to represent?
And you know, Sandy, there is a parallel in Ezekiel. It's more of a mechanical kind of parallel,
mm-hmm.
but it's these four creatures that some people have compared them with flying saucers. I don't think that's fair because it says they're living creatures. But it says the spirit in the living creatures was also in the wheels, and wherever the spirit went, the creatures went. Whenever the spirit wanted to go, the creatures went there, and the wheels that rose and went with them. So every time the creatures moved or halted or levitated, the wheels did also, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Again, they're acting the way they do. The places that they go are all directed by the spirit.
By the spirit.
Very good. Yeah, that's excellent, Don, to bring that in.
It's
like, yeah, because are we going to be obedient to where the spirit brings us? Are we going to do what he tells us to do? Are we going to live that way?
To be more like Jesus and do what the Father told him to do.
That's right.
And fortunately, we're not asked to endure the cross, because that's been done for us. But there's so much more. Yeah, a smile, a kind word, practicing kavod.
Yeah, bringing his presence. Bringing his presence wherever we go. But we have to have, you know, I have to have my heart set on him and not on other things. Because it's so easy to be distracted. Right, Kevin?
Yes.
And it is. It's
so easy. So easy.
And it's easy to get down in the dumps, and it's easy to feel like, what am I doing? You know, as I was sharing with the guys in the jail on Tuesday, the importance of realizing who they are in Christ, Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
That's
Romans
right.
8:1.
That's right. Because we will be down and out at times. We will be, confused.
That's right.
But it's our choice. How do we react to that?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then as I was saying to the guys, I said, you have a choice. I mean, if somebody asks you, who do you think you are? And I always say, tell them, you are the Son of Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
You are a child of the Most High God. You are the apple of his eye. You are what I created you for me. You are going to be my ambassador. You will live abundantly. You will see miracles happen. You are worthy of me sending my son to die for you for your sins. That's who you are. You are, what I say to him is like, it doesn't matter about your past. You tell people, that was the past.
That's right.
I am no longer that person.
You
have been born again. I am renewed in the spirit. My mind is being renewed, and I'm living a life that he's called me to so that I may glorify him in all that I do.
A new person. I mean, visibly, not the old, but the new.
That's right.
Ephesians 4:17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the fertility of their minds.
Yep, the futility of their minds.
I can't. You can't say it any better.
No.
And it is written.
It is written.
Absolutely futile thinking. Absolutely futile.
Yep, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God and the ignorance and blindness of their hearts. Blindness. They have not seen. You know, that goes back to the area in the Bible we were in, 2 Corinthians 4. You know, the gospel is veiled, and it's veiled to those who are perishing, lest the light of the glory of God is shined upon them. And believe me, God can do it himself. I was a new Christian, and I had that exuberance that we all should be able to keep throughout our lives.
That's right.
I mean, that well does not dry up. But I was underneath my Jeep working on something, structure, and then there was a storm earlier, so it was a little damp outside, and the driveway was a little bit wet. But I was lying there underneath in the gravel, trying to tighten a shock or replace one or something. And all of a sudden, the clouds just rolled in. And if you've ever seen the light shine through a bunch of clouds that, you know, you didn't know if they were ominous or but they were beautiful. And the light just came out in streaks, you know, like somebody's painted the thing. And, you know, I was so moved by that. I ran in the house to see if everybody was raptured and I was the one left behind, you know.
Hallelujah.
It was the glory of God just came through. And it's not loving nature, but no. God, you can see through the natural things, yeah. The natural beauty.
He just displays it in all of his creation.
It did. And seriously, I thought, you know.
You thought it was in.
I thought my wife and kids went, you know, and I was left behind. And I hit my head on the underneath on the way out. And so I come with blood going down my face.
Kevin, I love it.
Limping into the house like, are you here? He's still here. But that was a moment when you could feel and see God's glory. That was a moment.
That's exciting because we can make that choice.
That's right. That's right.
It's like, that's why I was thinking back of my acronym that I use, MEET, M-E-E-T, make every encounter transformational. If we go about with that primary in our mind, in our heart, you know, how can I bless this person that you're putting in front of me? What can I do to display your glory? What can I do to give them an accurate feeling about who you are? You know, because otherwise, we're the ones that,
right.
I mean, we are the ones. I mean, God will do what he wants to do. Jesus mm-hmm. will, you know, it's like Muslims are coming to Christ in Iraq because they are being visited by Jesus Christ in the middle of the night.
That's right.
They are being, because I know people that are there that are ministering to the Muslims, and it's like, God will do it. And it's like, what a privilege we have to represent him. And it's just like, have your way. Lord, have your way. I will not hide my light under a bushel basket.
No.
I will let your light shine before me, so that others will glorify you. Let my light so shine before men that you will be glorified. And it's a choice we make every day.
That's right.
Let's make this is a challenge to the listeners too, is like, think about everyone you meet as you are his representative, and what are you going to show, how are you going to act, and what are you going to say that will show the glory of God?
Right.
What a question. What a way to live, right, Don? I mean, it's like, you know, that's what we need to do,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about his glory. It's all about taking the veil off so that they can see him.
Right.
You know, we should carry around his glory. And the way we can carry around his glory is we have to spend time with him. We have to meditate on his word. We have to be encouraged by one another. We have to be in fellowship. We have to go to churches that are preaching the word, and we need to be out being his representative. It isn't for a select few. It's that we are
right.
all called.
Right.
We are all called to share the gospel. We are all told. We are all called to share the gospel. And he's given us the strength to do it. He's
That's
given
right.
us the Holy Spirit to be our spokesman. You know, like Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to have to say. You know, when you're brought before the courts and everything else, because I will be there speaking for you.
You know, I was teaching a class at the University of Georgia, which is not known to be a Christian school, by the way. It was definitely a secular environment. But during the class at some point, and I don't know why the Lord did this, I believe it was at the Lord's prompting, he told me to say, faith can make a real difference in terms of how you do research, because the class was on research. Mm. And I said, if there are any of you that would like to talk about that, just stay after class and we'll discuss it.
Mm.
Now, this is a classroom full of very conservative Christian people. Many of them were, I won't say they were very conservative, but there were some Christians in the group. And I thought, I know that contingent's going to stay. And I was shocked when everyone walked out except for one Muslim woman.
Mm.
And she said, I'd like to hear more about that. And we had a conversation for probably an hour talking about how faith can affect
the way you do research and how it influences you all the way along and helps make you who you are. And I was just so thankful for that opportunity. And I learned a few things along the way, too.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are real, tangible entities. Our job is to introduce them. And you can do that by like Dawn did, with just answering her questions. She could see that that was from God. She was touched by His glory. And that is the most intimate thing that can happen to a person. That touch will not go void. It will not disappear. It'll just she'll just want more.
That's right.
She'll just want more. Mm-hmm. Touched by His glory.
Hear Gospel Network is an intergenerational, Christ-centered, not-for-profit internet mission church. A network of believers from many different backgrounds who are passionate about reaching out to others. Your Voice in the Wilderness, a church online since 98, now known as pgn.church, operates 100% on your tax-deductible donations.